You're listening to Let's Drink with Formal Shark.
So this part of the show, I'm excited. This part of the show is probably what you'd have considered the old sum up.
Yeah,
but we're gonna add a little bit more to it to bulk it out a bit to make it a bit more. We're gonna talk about some current affairs, hopefully in the brewing industry, maybe just generally in life. Finish off our wings today.
Yeah.
Finish off the beers that are in front of us. Maybe have another beer sometimes.
I hope we're not eating these wings in every show because it might have gone off.
Yeah, and it might be a bit boring.
But though, I mean, it turns out the sum up was a bit shit because we'd summed the beers up while we drank them and then we just rambled on about shite.
And but some people,
so we might as well just have a ramble on about shite section.
So we thought we'd do that, but we'll try and make it a little bit more informative. And
yeah.
So what?
I mean, as I alluded to in part two, was there's a shortage of CO2.
It's a fucking crisis.
It is a fucking crisis. I mean,
according to like the Daily Mail, it is.
I got a beep through on my telephone about it on my feed.
Did it? Did it actually beep through? Yeah, it was that much of a crisis.
As a thing, and I was like, oh, okay. And I'd gathered at work that there was an issue with getting hold of certain gases. And as I said in part two, you know, we've got jet black hard nitro. Now, do you think the nitro is effective?
There's a CO2 shortage that is could affect
it is starting to affect the beer industry.
Yeah.
Because there's two factories in the UK that produce CO2. And one of them is currently in shutdown for maintenance. It turns out the UK's production is very much straight out the door. We don't have stocks, we don't have enough to deal with a factory in such a long shutdown.
But it could also affect chicken as well. So this entire show, you could be listening to when it comes out.
So they're eating chicken wings and it could affect the chicken.
Yeah, because they put that in to stop all the germs in the packaging. So
but not the salmonella, because if you wash your chicken, that's it, you're going to kill everyone.
So essentially what we could be is people could be like, wow, we want to do all this, and then we'd just be like, you just can't do it, because we did it beforehand.
There's just no chicken or beer left, that's it. It's a wasteland.
Like, if that is the case, then we will be, we might as well just give up on humanity.
Yeah.
If we have not got beer and chicken, that's the end of the world.
It's not quite the end of the world if there's no chicken. There's still the delicious turkey.
You do that with a turkey wing.
Yeah.
What do turkey wings even look like?
They're bigger birds, aren't they? Big.
So if you're a turkey farmer, does turkey wings, are they just like a bigger chicken wing?
Because turkey doesn't taste like chicken.
No, but I was just thinking you could be like a big gnawing.
Well, I mean, we could use rabbits instead.
Or albatross.
Or frogs.
I think it's more the packaging. It's not the animal itself.
So it's not necessarily just chicken, then.
The other meat. But I suppose stuff like beef that probably matures more and doesn't go rancid as quick is probably better. So we'll just have to eat more beef.
Yeah.
Oh, dearie me. More beef. More lamb. Oh.
As I was saying, I wonder how it changes the production of certain beers. Will certain beers become more nitro?
Well, I was thinking stuff like key kegs wouldn't be affected, would they?
Because
they're naturally fermented inside, and then some people will use CO2 to press it out. It's how it's done, or other people
can
use
ale. Cheap gas, because key kegs, the way they are, is there's the gas and the air doesn't touch.
We only know this because we got one for my birthday. Yeah. That's why we're acknowledged on that.
And presumably bars could potentially move to other gases like nitro. And there's probably some other gases that can
do helium, and then by the end of it, the beer will start flowing.
Because there's meant to be a worldwide shortage of helium.
Yeah, that's even more because the way
the way they mine it, but it's the partly ballooned industry.
So how do you still
get it for partly ballooned.
You're a scientist, so how do you mine it?
What they do is they get their little hard hat on.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Go down pit.
So instead of, you know how miners get like shaky fingers and bronchitis, do they get stupid voices? It's like an entire town of miners going, hello!
Presumably it's mined in the similar ways like oil rigs, because it's a type of mining. It's just some fancy on fanny name, isn't it?
Yeah.
We could find beers start to taste better, because nitro can change the taste of a beer.
So
it's not necessarily doom and gloom.
So have you got anything else news-wise?
I have, but I'll let you go first, because my news is quite interesting and not very serious.
Oh, well, mine's not. Mine, this one here that I was going to go on was, man's receipt says it's spitting food on it.
Yeah, I read that and was like, oh, okay.
So some restaurant in, I think, America, and the person got the bill, and at the bottom of it, it said, as like a note, to spit in the food.
Yeah.
The person had been sacked for that. Yeah. But it is quite scary, really. Do you want us to go on to the more serious news?
Yeah, you could go on to the serious news.
So I think the big one in the craft beer community, there was meltdown, like Twitter was absolutely hilarious for a day, is that Beavertown has sold a minority share to basically the piss water makers of Heineken.
Okay.
So they're putting in a £40 million investment so they can make...
Into
Beavertown to
and
make...
And that's considered a minority share. Yeah. That's quite a lot of money.
Compared... So that's to make Beaver World.
Beaver World. So, that sounds like a good kind of world. I mean, you followed it more than me. Yeah. Is there a lot of hate for this?
Yes, there's a lot of people, oh, we're never going to drink Beavertown again. And I mean,
when Camden got bought, we were kind of like, there was a lot of hate on the community and things. And actually...
Well, it's worth to think, because there has been a precedent where, and especially where it's been a majority buyout, where the beer changes. And there was something I was reading on holiday about, I think it was one for Camden Towns, it was one of them that had been bought out, where they were saying how negative it was and how bad of experience it was, because these big brewers quite often, when they get them, then want to brew for profit and they'll say whatever. My whole thing is, it's if a beer tastes good, I'm still going to drink it.
Yeah.
I think there's probably a lot of breweries have got questionable finances behind them. If you go to the bank, banks are dodgy as fuck. Yeah, okay, Heineken is a dodgy company. And
but any big business, if you look hard enough, you know, anywhere, as soon as you're not in control of your money or your finances and there's a lot of people around it, there's always going to be something dodgy behind
it. Yeah, and it's one of those, I would like it not to, as a nice person. I think there's a lot of negativities in business, but also these... There's this very much, it boils me piss that there's this whole thing of people, and most of them will be bloody accountants, they'll be working in factories, they'll be working for the man.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to craft beer, if somebody doesn't do exactly what they believe is right in this little tiny moral compass, they start hating on the companies. It's like, it's quite simple. There's breweries I don't particularly like for whatever reason, because maybe it's the marketing, the beers they bring out, some, you know, a tweet as annoyed as or whatever. And I just don't buy the beers.
Yeah.
And because beer should be fun, and you shouldn't be turning around to somebody that has worked really, really hard. Okay, there's constructive feedback. Yeah. But there's a thing of people forget that it's humans at the end of it, everybody that works in them. And if you work in a brewery, if you've started a brewery, you worked really, really hard. Yeah. It's not like us that
are lazy. I mean, if you're crafting a beer, even if it's a shitty beer, there's still work gone into that. There's a hard graft. Like, you don't need to shit on it.
Like, I think most of the brewers that we know are working almost 7 days a week. Or they might have a Monday off or something like that. But the brewing during the week, and then a weekend when we relax and drinking their beers, they're pushing their beers, they're selling it, they're going to an event, they're staying up late, they're in early brewing. And it's a hard thing that they are crafting. And then after so long of giving joy, somebody wants to sell out to the man and get a shitload of money.
What's the problem?
Because then there's another brewery that'll take their place. There's so many other breweries at the moment. Okay, it's different if they all started monopolising and, you know, back in the 70s when the market started to shrink. We don't want that to happen. And if that happens, I'd be upset.
But I think, as you say, the craft beer industry is quite good. And the fact that if somebody sold out and their beer isn't the same quality and isn't exciting anymore, they'll die out. Somebody else will take the place. Somebody will come back, because there's a lot of smaller breweries out there that are doing interesting things not necessarily getting the prime time they need. When somebody gets big and if they get bought out and people don't agree, then that's the prime time for somebody else.
But that's it. There's a nice cycle happening, isn't there?
Exactly.
So you have breweries... So you did. You had Camden's. They then got sold out. You then had these other ones that came up, like Beavertown. You've obviously got stuff like Cloudwater, stuff like...
And if somebody's working their arse off to do all this, then, and somebody's willing to pay, I mean, that's a minority share for £40 million. Mm. That's a lot of money. I know they're going to have a lot of equity and a lot of money behind that. You know, they've probably put £40 million into it. But if they can make a profit by selling a percentage share... Why not? And it's good. You know, it's proper. It's money for somebody who's worked for it.
Yeah.
And the other way is, surely it's a good thing. If Heineken gets a minority share in a beer that everybody likes, that's more likely to be in the pubs that everybody else goes to.
That's why they're now going to have a brewery in Spurs in the football ground. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You are going to get a good quality. Now, I think the word craft often sort of distorts it, because actually we promote good beers we enjoy.
It comes with a connotation and yes. ideology of, and it has to be this
and okay,
kind of...
You know, we try to keep away from InterBev companies if they've got a big share in them. Will it make a decision if there's two beers exactly the same? One of them's Beavertown and there's Heineken behind it, and one of them's a little independent. I would go for the little independent, because that's what I believe in.
But I mean, we've had in the past alcohol-free beer that InterBev is behind, and it was a really exceptionally good alcohol-free beer. You know, it wasn't quite as good as BrewDog's, but in terms of other generic beers that's easy to get hold of, it was great.
Well, I think there's too much of this ideology of this, you know, I drink beer because it tastes good and we have a good time with it. That's the only reason I drink beer, and I love... And what I'm doing is I'm on a quest for good taste, and that narrows us down with things. You profile things.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that certain breweries are good, so you know that, you know, Wylam, Box Social, all these ones locally, Newcastle Brewing and stuff like that, you know that your hit rate of them breweries are going to be far better than InterBev, Heineken.
Well, I mean, what you're talking about there is a type of prejudice, really.
Yeah.
You know, you're saying, well, these breweries tend to do good beers, so they're the ones I'm going to go for. But it doesn't mean that the other breweries, if they try, can't do that. The problem with craft beer is the scale. As soon as you start to scale up, it starts to be harder to make an experiment.
Yeah.
Now, if you've got onto a good recipe, look at BrewDog in the Park. Yeah. That's a good recipe. They've got onto a good thing. They can scale that up.
No. What's interesting is once you start doing stuff like that, there's the potential that you can take bigger risks, because you've got your everyday beer that's bringing in your pocket money, it's bringing in your money, it's getting your product out there and paying the bills, would probably be the better way than every other word I just said.
Yeah.
You can then potentially experiment more. I think it's going to be interesting, the scene going forward, just to sort of sum this up, because I feel like rambling on a bit. To be interesting where things going, if this there's the precedence of it going tits up when a big brewer gets the thing in. I hope it doesn't.
I mean, I feel it could be interesting. It could mean that we can actually get Beavertown beers in more bars.
Yeah.
You know, you go up in your local town or city and they've got Heineken on top. By the way, we've also got neck oil on. And you're brilliant. There's a good beer next to something shit. Yeah. Could be a good thing.
Just as long as the quality stays the same. So anyway, what was your news?
So my news was the other day it popped up on my feed next to the CO2 thing. I think Google knows me. There was a gentleman in Gateshead taken to court for running a sex doll brothel.
Right?
Yes. So, what he did was he was selling...
Remember, you can come to the Great North Exhibition.
Yes, the Great North Exhibition.
Gateshead and
Newcastle.
Or how it should be put, Newcastle and a tiny bit of Gateshead.
No, sorry, Newcastle Gateshead. Because that bit of Gateshead, they're called Newcastle Gateshead. Yeah, because
the one bit of...
Newcastle want that bit. No, so this guy was importing and selling sex dolls. Now, these are quite expensive... commodities, I would suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like £2,000-£3,000. And in his factory unit that he worked out of, he also had a showroom. Said showroom, you could try before you buy for £50. There was nothing in this article about what happened if you chose not to buy this. And when you were trying, were you trying somebody else's try before you buy? But... he was...
Think of the cleaner.
Exactly. And would you want to have sex with a piece of plastic in a warehouse?
Well, take it. It was be just a
some dodgy bed in some little bit of room. But this guy got shopped, and he was, quote the newspaper, running a sex doll brothel. So for £60, you could have sex with inanimate objects in some industrial estate. I believe it was Walker or...
So what had he done? What had he done wrong?
Basically, he didn't have a license to sell sex toys and things.
Ah, oh, right.
And he didn't have a sex license, which is what he'd done wrong.
So you have to have a license to have sex somewhere.
So yeah, no, you have to have a license to sell sex toys, pornography, things like this in a certain extent. So if you're showing these things, and it comes under the Sex Act or some other fancy name.
You know a lot about this.
The article was quite in depth with all the legalities. It was quite good. And essentially, he didn't turn up to court and he got found guilty. I mean, I think he knew it. But yeah, if you want a sex doll, you now in Gateshead can't try it before you buy.
It's a shame.
Now, luckily, I'm just baffling. It's like somebody was like, you know what? I'm spending £2,000. I want to try before I buy.
Which is
a sensible consumer advice.
Yes.
But that somebody else thought this was a good marketing idea.
You know.
I mean, are you going to try somebody else's sex doll?
A bit of jiff, clean it up.
Like,
But then there would have probably been some people who would have got off on that idea.
Possibly, quite possibly. Anyway. You might have charged more for that, though, if you figured that one out.
Yeah. Some weird people around.
So, no, you're not allowed to charge for having sex with your own sex dolls.
So, if you've enjoyed this show, email in sharks at formalshark.co.uk. If you haven't enjoyed it, email in sharks at formalshark.co.uk.
Yeah.
Oh, pardon me. Tweet us, tell us feedback, what you've liked about the show, what you haven't.
Yeah, if you made the wings from part one, then send us a picture.
Yeah, we should have took a picture of them beforehand. I'll have to make them again and just mock it up.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Or just a pile of
dead bones.
I think I've had a few more than you.
You've only had a couple more than me.
I'm a fat bastard.
But no, and if you've got any beers you want us to try or a meal you want us to try with certain beers, tell us. We'll tell us
a recipe and then we'll have a look at it, develop it and see
where we can go.
See what we can do with it. If you do a good meal and pairing, tell us about it. Tell us what you're liking and stuff like that.
Yeah, please. We want some friends. We want to talk to somebody.
If you've got any news, the idea is these will be recorded monthly, so if you've got any news,
we might be able to fit it in. Are you launching a brewery in a month or two's time?
Yeah, tell us about it.
Want some information?
2 years, even better. Get your phone, download a record app, and have audio to us. Yeah. Tell us about your beers. Tell us about the amazing things you're doing.
Yeah.
So we can put it in. That's the whole idea of this sort of last section, with it being news and things like that, is for us to.
We could
project more.
Joe Bloggs spouting on about this amazing beer he's got.
Yeah,
yeah.
And food, good places to. If you've been to a restaurant that has amazing craft beer and amazing food, then we want to hear about it up and down the country. You know, so if we go to a different area,
the world.
Yeah,
even if you're in another country and you've got something good, then tell us.
So we know.
Interesting.
If we go to Croydon.
That's not a different world, that's a different...
Well, yes, but I was thinking, we're not...
Country.
The chance of us going off
it's
to...
It's probably cheaper
of...
for us to get to Ireland or Scotland than it is Croydon. They're different countries.
Yes. So, if in Scotland, you know, a decent...
Yeah, there we go. If you're Scottish and you're like, oh, I had some haggis and this IPA and it just worked amazingly
This Neep IPA.
Oh.
An IPA,
interesting.
An IPA made of
Neeps,
yes. Whatever turnips are. Yes, turnips, that's what it is.
I can't stand turnips.
No, neither can I. But I can with haggis.
I don't like haggis.
But it's the only time I like it is with that. Like, I don't know if it's just it's traditional and I'm a...
So the last time I had haggis, I had it as a burger and it was still too haggisy.
but not to profile you, but you're a bit of a cretin. Have you ever had actually nice haggis? Have you always had it from Tesco's?
No, I've never had it from Tesco's.
All right.
Because I've always known I don't like it to have crap haggis from Tesco's. I've tasted it from butchers and proper haggisy places in Scotland.
You've been to Scotland?
It was just a couple of times. I went with you.
Oh, right, yeah, you did.
Yeah, I slept with you.
And then you were going back the next day or something, weren't you?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we hope you've enjoyed it. We hope to be back within a month's time with a show that we consider not a pilot.
Yeah.
It's maybe a little bit more refined. We are going to... We'll listen back to the show and we'll make notes on the back of a packet, even though we don't smoke.
I mean, normally we would have had for another beer with the news, and that would have been the Jet Black Heart, but Phil was very eager to try that.
I taste it with it, but like I say, we're developing it, we're working out what's going on, and we really do hope that we get something quite cool at the end of it that refreshes...
Cool, hip,
yeah,
suave.
Well, that's just something that refreshes what was quite...
I'm going to say cowabunga.
A show that people seem to enjoy.
Yeah.
But we were... We probably got bored with it before the people. This is where the people email in and say...
in terms of just time, really.
Yeah. I'm still munching through these wings and things.
And if anybody wants to be a third person and come and cook for us...
Yes.
Yeah. We'll come around your house.
You don't have to be naked.
But, I mean, you don't have to be.
It
could be a benefit. It depends who they are.
Yeah. We're not naked.
They look like you.
Yeah, we're not naked. I was just thinking of the naked chef. Spitting all over the place.
But he was never naked.
I know.
Which was kind of disappointing.
Did you want to see Jamie Oliver when he was younger? He's a bit old and fat now.
His knob against his leg.
The thing is, if you got oil on it, or chili.
What would he be doing to get chili on it? I was stood cutting the chili, and I managed to get none of it on me.
You never ever touched your knob.
If I was naked, it still wouldn't have been on the knob.
If I'd flicked it.
What,
the chili at the knob. Not your knob. I've not got that good of a name.
No. Right. This was part 3 of many parts. So if you've listened to this first, then you probably want to find part 1.
Yes. That's the whole idea of this, is you can consume it how you want.
Mm-hmm.
If you want if you love our cooking and you think, wow, that's good, just listen to that. If you don't like us cooking because you think that's boring and there's lots of
then pauses, skip everything that says part 1.
Yeah, if you like the more tradition of us drinking beer, then you've got that as one episode that you can listen to. And then, obviously, this bit where we're talking bollocks and talking forever about whatever we used to talk about and things like that, then...
No Lego Men this time.
No Lego Men. That never even got on. I never even edited that one up. So anyway, goodbye.
Tatty bye.
You have been listening to Let's Drink with Formal Shark, a Formal Shark production. Written and performed by Phil and Bob. Edited by Phil.